Three Peeps in a Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of Three Peeps in a Podcast. Rich is on the line. Say hello, Rich.
Good afternoon, chaps. Evening, chaps. Not afternoon. Good evening, everyone.
We're doing this on Zoom conferencing, and we've currently got videos on, which may have to come off in a minute because it's probably taken up all the bandwidth. So we're trying this out, and we've got a guest on the line. It's a listener and a friend, Matt Penn. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, everyone. Good evening.
Matt. This is, we wanted to get you on because we've promised we would try and make it happen when you were in Singapore, but timelines and things like that, the world clock was against us. But now you're actually in the UK, which I was surprised to see on Find Friends a couple of weeks ago. Tell us what the heck you're doing in the UK for a man who now resides in Singapore.
Yeah, apart from for tax reasons that I can't disclose. No, I'm kidding. I'm halfway home from my holiday. I left Singapore on February 20th to spend 2 weeks here ahead of a holiday to the Caribbean, only to come back and find the world had changed. Well, I'd watched the news whilst I was there. I wasn't a complete surprise that all the craziness with COVID-19 was happening. And in the time I was away, basically the Singapore government have restricted entry to anyone who's abroad, whether you're a Singapore citizen or a long-term resident like myself. We can't go back unless we've got permission. And nobody yet, as far as I'm aware, has got permission unless you're a key worker economy, which I'm not in healthcare and I'm not in transport. So that's why I'm in the UK until I'm told I can go home. So I'm halfway home from my vacation / holiday.
Well, welcome back, Matt. That's all I can say. Has Patch left the conversation? Has he left?
I'm still here.
Where's Patrick?
I've switched my camera off because the bandwidth clearly can't cope with three of us. So if you guys want to switch your camera off, it might improve the audio. We'll try that for now.
How'd you do that?
Oh my God. I know you've just turned 49, but for goodness sake.
This is the first time I've ever used Zoom. The only Zoom I know of is by Fat Lara's band.
Always the same. Just press the button that says stop video. Always the same.
What does it say that?
Well, use your eyes. Open your eyes. There he is.
Open.
No, he's not back. Oh, Rich.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see those. You got to press the screen first and then that little menu comes up.
Yes.
That's it. Oh, got to press it again. Bye. Video.
Bye, Rich. Thank you. So, Matt, you basically left. You're on a vacation, but I guess you can pretty much work from anywhere in the world, can't you, with technology these days?
Yeah, I can. I think the only challenge is time zone. So before I went on my holiday, I was pretty much staying on Singapore hours. So I was getting up. First time in my life I'd ever worked any kind of night working. So I was getting up between half midnight and 1 a.m. And then working through until about 9 a.m. to align with my team there. I've also worked with people in Sydney quite regularly as well, so they're a little bit further away. But I realized that human beings certainly aren't nocturnal creatures, because after 2 weeks I was ready for a holiday. So since I've come back, I've been getting up a little bit earlier, but certainly not as early as before my holiday. So yeah, time zone's the only challenge, but yeah, technology's wonderful, which we're all discovering right
except
now.
Except for this thing.
Except for this one.
Who makes this one? Who makes it?
I don't know who makes Zoom. I imagine the company's called Zoom, but
was it made in Wuhan?
I hope not. we've tried a few things now. Earlier today I tried it was one that was recommended to me by another podcast by the name of clean feed. So you basically, it's a website. You just send an address send an invite to someone else, and they all come into a room, and then you get recordings. But couldn't get that to work earlier, so we're giving Zoom a try today. But Matt, just roll back the years a little bit. You were living in London, in Wimbledon, in fact, right next to Centre Court. And you had an opportunity come up for work to move to Singapore. And what was the decision like for you to actually uproot with your wife and child to actually go to Singapore? Was it really up for it? Was there reservations? How did you feel?
Yeah, good question, Patrick. I think I had the advantage of being able to sort of try before I bought. So I went out last January, end of January, on a 4 to 5 month assignment, basically doing the job that I'm doing full time now, but I didn't know that I was going to be doing it full time back then. So I went out for a month, first of all. So I left my wife and son back in the UK. I went out for 2 weeks in Sydney to meet the team, and then another couple of weeks in Singapore to kind of get to know Singapore, get to know the team there as well. And then I came back on holiday, which fortunately wasn't disrupted. And then my wife and son flew out with me in March, where we stayed until pretty much July, when I finished the assignment, after which I decided I was going to come back to the UK. And then I was offered the job I was doing on an assignment full time. So we'd really loved Singapore. I was fortunate that my wife doesn't work, and she probably has the hardest job in the world, as any parent will know, looking after a 3-year-old. So she absolutely loved the fact that it's such a safe place. It's always warm, typical temperatures 32 most days. The temperature doesn't change the whole year round, and it's almost a perfect 7 hour, 7 till 7, so 12 hours daylight every day, and that doesn't change at all, and they don't change their clocks. So it's a bit like the Truman Show, where everything is kind of orderly, and you know, completely like almost runs by clockwork. So we had some thinking to do. I came back for 3 months, and then we took the plunge in October. So we moved out there, lock, stock and barrel, from Wimbledon to Singapore, all pretty seamless. And then we actually spent Christmas out there. My in-laws flew out for Christmas. So we kind of, first time I'd had Christmas away from the UK, from the wider family. But it certainly feels like home.
What was it like Christmas Day, 32 degrees?
Yeah, it was bizarre. We actually still had traditional Christmas dinner. And then on Boxing Day, we went to a place called Sentosa, which is an island. It's actually connected to the main island of Singapore, and it is part of Singapore. But it feels like a holiday resort, because there's a lot of hotels, there's a few sandy beaches. They're all man-made, but a few sandy beaches. And we spent Boxing Day on Sentosa at one of the beach clubs there. So it was a real novelty to have a warm Christmas. It kind of took the edge off of Christmas a bit, because I was
wondering whether it would. Because when you've had 38 Christmases of cold and possibly snow, to then be abroad somewhere where it's hot, it must just make you a bit disorientated.
Yeah, it did. It sort of didn't really feel like Christmas at all, in many respects. But it was the family aspect that made it, you know, made it truly Christmas. And we still had, you know, we had Christmas decorations up, we had Christmas tree up. It was just that it was hot, which was nice.
What about your neighbours and work colleagues and things like that? Do they celebrate Christmas as much as we do?
Yeah, they do. I mean, actually, a lot of people use that as an opportunity to go home. So we found, where we lived, a lot of our neighbours went home to their respective countries. We've got British neighbours, we've got Australian neighbours, we've got some Dutch neighbours as well. So a lot of people flew, and then people also that we've, you know, we're friendly with out there, also people flew back to the UK. So a lot of my colleagues are either from the UK or from Australia, and they kind of went back to went back home. So actually Singapore got really, really quiet over Christmas. The interesting thing about Singapore is that it's actually really Western for an Asian country. The first official language is English. Second official language is Mandarin, and then third is Malay, and then unofficially fourth is Tamil. So that covers the sort of English sort of Western expat communities, covers the Chinese influence, covers the Malaysian influence, because it's ultimately part of the Malaysian Peninsula, and then the Indian influence with Tamil. And what happens is the city celebrates all of the celebrations and all of the religious festivals for every one of those, all four sides of that society. So we actually get a lot of public holidays, many of, like, so Diwali, for example,
a lot of
is
cakes.
A public holiday there. A lot of cakes, a lot of really strange cakes as well. But it's really respected as a Western holiday. And then no sooner is Christmas out the way is the Chinese New Year decorations come up, which is, of course, January. So it goes from one big festival to another big festival. And you never really feel like you're getting back into the swing of things after Christmas, because offices go into shutdown late January when Chinese New Year kicks in.
And what's the culture like in terms of actually working in Singapore? Is it the culture of your company, which is, you know, an American company, or is it the culture, did it take on some of the culture of the actual country?
Yeah, I mean, we mostly will, we have a fairly consistent global culture. I think there's a lot of local Singaporeans that work for the company. So inevitably you get influences just by having teammates who are Singaporean. I think, you know, the food, we have a pretty large canteen, and the food there is a mixture of Western and local as well. So you do kind of live all the influences definitely across, you know, across all of the people that work there. I mean, I think it's a really unusual place. If you've never been, I definitely recommend it, because it's one of the places. nobody can right now. Oddly, is you never in a position where you can't communicate with somebody. And I really like languages. I really like trying and absorbing a local language and learning it. I've never felt that I feel so lazy when it comes to language, because everything is all written in English. Everything's announced in English. Even drive on the same side of the road as we do here, because it used to be an ex-British colony. So there's so much familiarity that it feels like home from home, just that it's warm.
And yeah. with driving on the road, obviously Rich is quite famous for road rage. How's the driving on the roads over there? Is it calm and considered, or is there sort of similarities?
I don't think Rich would last very long on Singapore roads.
I'll teach him a few lessons.
He would. I don't think you'd be particularly happy with the drivers. They don't really have particularly great lane discipline. So there's a lot of drifters between lanes. There is, oddly, for a really polite society, no one will ever let you in. No one will ever let you out of the side road. No one will ever let you in. In fact, they will close the gap to make it even more difficult for you to get in. So it's a really odd one, considering they're such a normally gentle and kind society. Maybe it's just what we're used to, is people will let you out here, and it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen there. It can be a bit.
Is there a lot more traffic there, or is it kind of on par with, like, say, London, for example? Is it?
Oh, it's a lot less. A lot less than London. I mean, there's traffic at rush hour, but they call it ERP, electronic road pricing. So if you drive during rush hour, you'll pay to use the roads. If you drive out of rush hour, you don't pay. There's also cars are probably three, if not four times more expensive than they are here. So car ownership isn't a normal thing. That discourages people from on the roads. And public transport is so clean, efficient, air conditioned, regular. That's how they encourage people to use it. And taxis are cheap.
That is the difference.
Yeah.
Sounds bliss.
Yeah. So you say it's quite sort of Western in that a lot of people speak English, and it's probably got similar shops and restaurants. And you said that for example, in the canteen, you've got sort of almost the two sides to it. What is the local sort of dish, if you like? Is it like noodles and things like that, or?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. So one of the best places to experience the full, like the full cross section of all everything that Singapore has to offer is to go to what they call a hawker center. So a hawker center is essentially like a food market with seating in the middle and all individual independent stalls around the outside. And you'll get something from all of the cultures that I spoke about. But the main things is chicken satay. So Singapore's famous for satay. And it's famous for chicken and rice. Those are the two main kind of staple dishes. If somebody said, you know, what is Singapore most famous for? It's satay and chicken and rice. But like I say, you can get Indian, you can get, you know, anything Chinese, you can get a lot of Vietnamese cuisine, you can get Malaysian cuisine. You know, you're not far from, it's only 45 minutes by boat to Indonesia, so you can get Indonesian food, there's just so much. And then there's, you know, big Chinese influences with dumplings and dim sum. There's a lot of dim sum restaurants, so you've got the choice of everything. And then, but you know, being so multicultural, all the major multinational brands are there, so you know, you've got McDonald's if you want it, and all sorts of places.
It literally sounds like the best place to live.
it's funny because it's like all of the global, if you go around a supermarket, you will see, you know, particularly, I know, Pat, you go to the US quite a lot, you'll see a lot of brands that are on US supermarkets. If you go to Australia, you see Australian brands that are on the shelves. If you go into certain supermarkets, you'll see Tesco branded products. You'll see Waitrose branded products. You'll see, you know, really familiar stuff, as well as, you know, stuff from all over the world. They're all the weird and wonderful because so many expats live there. Supermarkets have learned to cater to the tastes of all the.
Is that stuff really expensive?
Yes, that's the thing. So the cost of living is expensive. And any imported goods are expensive. Now, if you buy local fruit and veg, if you buy Chinese greens, or even if you go to the hawker centers I've mentioned, that's some of the best quality, cheapest food that you'll find because it's all local produce. Anything that comes from external, so imported, it attracts some pretty high taxes.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, coming up after the break, we're going to hear a little bit more about Matt and the last few months and what sort of happens next. Hopefully, Rich has got a bit of a rant for us and we will have Room of Doom. So we will be back after the break. Welcome back. So, Matt, the last couple of months you've been on holiday, now you can't get back to what is now your home in Singapore. Has that caused many issues with, you know, things that you've got at your house that you need to get your hands on?
I mean, it's not ideal. It's probably the best way I can put it. I mean, the great thing is I set up like remote cameras and things to control my air conditioning remotely, so I can keep, you know, I can stop it from getting too hot and things like that. But I mean, Singapore is such a safe place. It's quite possibly the safest place I think I've ever been. That there's no, you know, there's no risk of break-ins or that kind of thing. I mean, the only thing is, my car there will is in a underground car park, which is at the place we live. That's probably the only thing that will suffer, because it'll ultimately have a flat battery. So I think that's about the only thing. The place that we're renting out there is part of a development. So there's a landlady that I can WhatsApp, and she can go in, and she's kind of done things like drawn the curtains to keep it cooler, you know, flush the loos, ran the taps, those kind of things. So she's going in whenever I ask her to, just to make sure that things are okay. And I guess I can see our place from, you know, sitting right here in the UK.
How about for your boy? I mean, like favorite toys and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's fortunate because we're, you know, his grandparents. We've always kept back some toys because, you know, our plan was always to visit periodically. So he's got stuff here. I won't deny we've bought some extra Lego and other bits and cars and things for him whilst we're here. I enjoy building the Lego.
And obviously you have to sort of restock your wardrobe a little bit, because you didn't take probably much on holiday to the Caribbean with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing, because originally I was going to be flying back about 36 hours before I went on holiday, and I bought my flights in early, so I was going to work from the UK for a couple of weeks, because before I went on holiday there was some concern about passengers traveling from Singapore potentially needing to be quarantined for up to 14 days. So I thought I was going to, you know, take the headache out of it, come back early and spend 14 days essentially in the UK. And then I was kind of clear to travel. For that 2 weeks, I did bring a couple of jumpers, a few more warm weather clothes than otherwise I would. But had I not, and I was going to travel like 36 hours before, I'd have just had shorts and t-shirt to enjoy this wonderful spring.
So what point did you say to the in-laws, do you mind if we stay with you for the next couple of months?
Well, yeah, it was, fortunately, we were away on holiday with them. So this was all unfolding in like the last 3 or 4 days of our holiday. I already knew that there was a risk. Borders were closing, and I was talking to my company's HR, and they were starting to put my applications on my behalf to get back. And then we kept getting rejection after rejection. So when we landed in the UK, it was a case of, right, I went off to hire a car, because, you know, we were planning on moving directly from Gatwick Airport to Heathrow and then flying off to Singapore. I had to get transport to, you know, get at least some of us and some of the many cases that we had to where we are in the UK. And they fortunately were with us, so they've been really understanding. As we don't have a date yet, we're sort of taking each day as it comes.
Well, I think that's pretty much the same for everyone at the moment, taking each day as it comes. But anyway, well, we'll have to keep in touch and see when you get back to Singapore. But for now, thank you, Matt. Will Rich, have you got award-winning rants for us this evening?
I don't know about award-winning, but it's come more to light, obviously, being at home for the last 3 weeks, is just yapping dogs, really. Neighbours yapping dogs. But I got a dog myself, but it's not a yapping dog. I don't see the enjoyment of having a dog that yaps that loud. And what you would then take into the back garden and make it yap even more by throwing a ball around and just annoying everybody in the surrounding areas, really. So yapping dogs, like cats, at least, cats are quite annoying, but at least they're quiet. I mean, they only mew at a certain volume, don't they?
Unless they just shit on your garden, basically, don't they?
The dog eats that, so.
Silent assassins, cats. But there's a dog down the street from us that they walk it at seemingly at the same time every night. And it is the most of yapping dogs I think I've ever heard.
I don't see the benefit of yapping.
I feel your pain. I don't, is it just excitement of them getting out of the house? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, you think after spending a few times it'd get to know where it is. like a new garden. You know what I mean? Unless like they're goldfish, where they just forget, you know, short-term memories. But I don't know. They just need to be less excitable then, don't they? Or if it's me, I'd be embarrassed by being the owner of that dog that's just yapping around the whole neighbourhood. I'll be like, you're getting in the front room.
If it was me and it was a dog that I'd had for a while and it suddenly started yapping and I was embarrassed, I'd literally put noise cancelling headphones on and just carry about my business and just see people up the street shouting at you.
I think you're going to put noise cancelling headphones on the dog.
Windows are open and people are sat in the gardens, you're going to hear it more and more. So,
any problems with yapping dogs in Singapore, Matt?
No, actually. I knew somebody was going to say that. I've not seen that on the menu. It's funny, actually. You don't really see that many cats and dogs. I don't know why. I don't know. It's because it's just so hot. I mean,
it rains
biblically sometimes because it's tropical. Okay. Absolutely torrential rain. But it gets really humid.
Thunderstorm.
But yeah, no, you don't really see many. You just honestly don't really see many pets. I think because a lot of people live in high rise rather than houses. That might be one of the restrictions, like space in back of garden.
House cats. Yeah. Good job. You haven't got any pets, isn't it? Poor thing would be. I wonder what the hell's going on.
Dead budgie.
Pretty bird.
Dead parrot. Dead parrot society.
He sleeps. So, Rich, what have you made any grumbling to the Yappy Dogs Association?
No, I think it's a bit. It's probably a good 20 yards away, but I can hear it. Obviously, it's that loud. But I do shout at the window sometimes. Does that dog ever shut up? But then, it's nothing you can do. They can't make him stop, can they? I mean, it's not really their fault. But just don't blame everyone when it dies. Just when it dies, don't blame everyone. If I can give out one little bit of advice.
Yeah.
or just buy a house in the middle of the countryside, that'd be good. Just buy another house. Yeah, and then no one's doing that anymore, right? No one's buying and selling anymore. So I can't even enjoy looking at Rightmove because there's no new listings anymore. So
partly because they can't do the viewings and things like that, I guess.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So that was like a little activity I used to do on a daily basis to see what's about, but even that's been taken away from me. I ain't got many enjoyments.
Have you got a well-stocked fridge of alcohol? I seem to be drinking every night here.
No, I haven't reached that slippery slope yet. I thought if I start doing that, it'd just be a downward spiral. So just weekends, I did manage to put 7 away last Thursday for my birthday. I put 7 Guinnesses away and then still worked the next morning, so that's fine.
Excellent.
I don't know if it's a mindset of when you go out, you feel more drunk. So because I went out, I was just drinking. Maybe I didn't get as drunk because I'm not surrounded by other people that are drunk. So I wonder if being drunk is a mental thing.
I had a cracking time on Friday and Saturday, actually. Friday night, I had sort of post-work drinks with work colleagues via WhatsApp. I think on WhatsApp, you can have up to 4 people on a video call. So we did that. And it was lovely, sat in the garden in the sunshine, just happily drinking away and quite merry that evening. And then Saturday, it's the third week we've done it on the trot now. We did a FaceTime quiz. We're taking it in turns to host and did that for sort of 2.5-3 hours. But just before that, for about an hour before that, I was having pre-drinks by myself and listening to 90s rave music on Facebook Live. There was like it was called Ultimate 90s Rave, and there were people like Judge Jules on there and Dave Pierce and other people, and there was having proper sets, like going live to their houses. I was bouncing around the kitchen. It was very good. But certainly the virtual parties seem to be on the rise. Have you been involved in any of them, Rich?
Only last on my birthday last Thursday, me, Kirsten, and Lucia sat down only on YouTube. We were just choosing a song each, and we had to listen to each song. You couldn't like get up and say that's shit or blah blah. Just taking turns choosing music and slowly drinking, so it's quite good. I managed to educate Lucia a bit of music. Kirsten didn't really like it. She ain't got much music taste, but that was quite good. Just discovering old songs.
How about like on FaceTime or on any sort of video conferencing? Have you reached that pinnacle yet?
I don't really, I'm not a big fan of videoing because I don't like looking at myself. I don't like watching myself. I don't really want to look.
You're only very small on the screen. You're sort of looking at everyone else.
Yeah, but even when we got a friend who live in Crete, and we used to be like an annual thing of like FaceTiming or Skyping at Christmas. And I used to just kind of stand off the camera. Yeah, so they could hear me, but I couldn't. So I don't want to stare at them. I don't want to stare at myself. So it's kind of,
yeah.
I'd rather just be audio.
Interesting. Okay, Matt, have you since you've been back in the UK with your Singaporeans?
Not with my Singaporeans, but with sounds like I'm the ruler of the country. with my subjects. No, I have with my old team in London actually, because we're on the same time zone. So we've set up a recurring iCal called the Virtual Dog and Fox, which is our virtual pub on a Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. So there's a few people on the invite, and then people who can just come and go for about an hour and a half. All they have to do, the only instruction, is bring their face and bring a beer, and that's it.
That's a good question, actually. I just thought of what's the beer situation, lager, ale situation in a Singaporean pub, which I'm hoping you've frequented at least once.
I think it's courage, isn't it?
Well, it's Tiger. Tiger's the Singapore beer.
On draft. Do they do on draft then?
Yeah. But actually, there's a wide, you'll be familiar with 7-Eleven, the supermarket mini mart format. I don't know what to call it.
The grocery store.
They sell that on draft in a couple of the outside on like little bars, particularly in the crowded areas. So 7-Eleven serve draft Tiger.
Ah, very nice.
Talking of drinks, I did buy an alcoholic ginger beer. He was livid.
You sold him straight after, I guess.
Do you get the joke or not?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Had to sort of supplement it in some way. I'd like to play a game of Family Fortunes with the pair of you. Okay.
Go on.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to give me an answer. And it'll be Matt first, then Rich, and then Rich first, then Matt, and so on and so on. Okay.
Okay.
So,
yep.
Question one. Just
it's me first, is it?
Making it, yeah, you first, Matt. Yeah. So, Matt, something you hate to find on your windscreen? Fish can.
A chip.
Oh, a chip, an actual like chip out of the windscreen, okay?
Yeah, not a potato.
Not a crispies. Rich.
I'm going to say, Patrick, a parking ticket.
Nice.
See, that's got to be a high score.
Rich, something a man might buy before going on a date.
Well, I could say the obvious. I'm going to say a bunch of flowers.
Oh, you're romantic. Matt?
Breath mint.
Breath mint.
You thought I was going to say sheaths.
Prophylactic. Matt, something you cook in the microwave.
I'd say instant porridge.
Porridge?
Yeah.
Rich?
I was going to say that because I do that every morning.
If you do, I could say something else.
Yeah. I'm going to say rice. Just those kind of convenient things you put in for a minute.
Okay. I think it's Matt. Is it? No, it's Rich. Something you might find in your wallet.
Just a debit card.
Debit card. Matt?
Driving license.
Driving license. Okay.
Sheaths again.
Always the same.
Always the same.
Every answer.
Matt, something you've always got stocked in the fridge.
Milk.
Rich?
I'm going to say blueberries/raspberries.
Blueberries?
And raspberries. Super fruits.
Blimey. Okay.
That's why I look 10 years younger than you, and I'm 10 years older than you.
Well, you didn't a minute ago when you were frozen on the screen. I must admit, you looked about 99, let alone 49.
That was makeup.
Yeah, I'm worried to ask this next one. Something you do before bed, Rich?
Brush your teeth. Brush my teeth.
Okay, Matt.
Wash my face.
Ah, interesting.
Well, you do neither of those, Patch. Patch doesn't do any of them.
I don't know. I wash my face before bed, actually.
Don't wash the grime of the day off your face.
Ah, I wait till the morning. Get it off in the morning. Saves doing it twice.
Don't you moisturise?
Right. This is Matt. Name a vegetable people hate to eat.
Vegetable people hate to eat. Well, I like them, but Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I was going to say exactly the same.
Nice.
I was going to say that. I was even going to say I like them, which I do.
What's your limit on Brussels sprouts? How many can you eat in a sitting without it causing eruptions?
About six, I reckon.
Six is on the side of the head. When I've asked this question before, which I have at Christmas do's, six is often the answer. So, well done.
Because it's a side vegetable, isn't it? It's not like your main Christmas one.
Just a Christmas aperitif, isn't it? Rich?
I'm going to say poorly made broccoli if it's like too soggy.
Really? Okay. Yeah. You like a crunchy broccoli, do you?
Well, not. I do like raw vegetables, except potatoes, better than the cooked version. I do like a crunchy carrot or a bit of sweet, you know, a bit of a.
Okay. Something a woman might change about herself.
Me.
Yep.
Well, that's topical. Topical. Their lips.
Lips.
I don't know where that fashion. You know, I don't know where that fashion come from, but they all just seem to pump their lips now with collagen and look like.
Has that reached Singapore yet, Matt?
Not really. No.
Right. Well, it's horrendous. As young girls, even before they finish developing, they're already changing their bodies. Well, their face, even before they even grow into their face.
Crazy. Matt?
Their weight.
Oh. Continental. What do you have a bunch of in the bathroom? This is from Matt, I think.
Yeah,
right. Bunch of towels.
Nice. Okay, Rich.
When you say bunch, you just mean a few, do you?
A lot of. Yeah.
A lot of. In our household, a lot of bottles of shampoo. Even though they've only got one head each, there seems to be like four bottles per person out there.
Okay.
For colored hair, short hair.
Wash and go, it's only one bottle, isn't it?
Well, them, it's like eight. Yeah. You take eight bottles into the shower.
Rich, what animal or insect are you most afraid of?
Well, if I come face to face with one, it'd be a whole list of them. But ones I would probably come across would probably be just a snake or a spider. I'm going to say spider.
Spider.
Big ones.
I go wasp.
A wasp? Okay.
I'm not afraid of him.
You can have one.
It's just thinking of generally what people would be afraid of.
Do you have like big killer animals in Singapore? Like Australia, the country that's trying to kill you. Is Singapore named for its deadly bugs and the like?
Well, they have I don't know if they're deadly or not, but they have, you know, those big Komodo dragons.
I love Komodo dragons.
Yeah, they live, I don't know, I think they can eat small things, but I don't know they eat people.
That's actually my favourite dragon, the Komodo.
The Komodo, of all the dragons, it's the Komodo.
the thing that will indirectly kill you is a mosquito. The dengue fever, which is not nice.
So what, how do you protect yourself against that? Do you have to put repellent on and stuff?
Yeah, I think you have to. They fumigate as well. They go around and fumigate places, but they report
them under bed.
No, it's not that bad.
So do you have to put like sun cream on every day?
Technically you should, because it's extreme, but it's not as though you're out in it a lot really, but I don't. And if we're out, I mean, if I was going to
go to the park,
be on the balcony or go to the park or sit by the pool or something for a period, then yeah, I would.
So you've got a pool. Is that like a shared thing in your apartment block or?
Yeah. We share it with,
and you have paid some sort of maintenance.
11 other apartments.
Yeah. Nice. Is that heated or?
No, it doesn't need to be.
Oh, true. Okay.
It's always hot, Patch. It's always hot.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Right. So I just got asked 98 more people now. So thanks very much for your input.
I was going to say, where'd you get the answer from?
No, I saw them on Facebook earlier and I thought, that'd be good to do, because I'm doing sort of virtual team building exercises and stuff in work, and I thought, oh, that'd be good. I just need to ask 100 people. So thanks for your time. Do you want to hear some of the answers that I've got? So I've got another set of answers so far. Something people hate to find on their windscreen, poo. Something a man might buy before going on a date, condoms. Something you put in the microwave, beans. Something you find in your wallet, whatever's in it is mine. Something always stocked in the fridge, vegetables, fruits. What was the next one? Something you do before bed, check the doors are locked. Something that you find, a vegetable that people hate to eat, asparagus.
I love that.
You're going to say a sparrow?
No, I like it.
Called Gus. it does makes your wee smell, doesn't it?
Something woman would like to change about herself, her hair. Something you have a bunch of in the bathroom, hairs in the plug hole. What animal or insect are you afraid of?
Crocodiles.
So, yeah, there you go. Room of Doom. Have you guys got something or a thought of something that you might want to
I've got a Room of Doom.
Okay, I've got one. Matt, have you got one or do you want to?
Yeah, I've got one.
Excellent. Okay. Right, Matt, you're the guest. You go first.
The one thing that really annoys me is when
you've contributed a couple of rumored dooms in the past, and the one that sticks out for me was something that I very much agreed with. That was people who dawdle in walking. Your solution was that there should be like a slow lane and a fast lane on a pavement.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. I haven't yet seen that, but
it needs to be implemented.
In Singapore, actually. They might have come up with that in Singapore.
No, the problem's worse there. I think it's probably because the population is generally shorter and they walk slower. But anyway,
go on, what have you got?
So if you're exercising, particularly running, and it actually is vastly improved with the current social distancing measures that we've got in place. Mm-hmm. But the amount of people that I go out running, I run down the pavement, and people can see you coming. And they're spread across the pavement and they don't step to one side. They'd rather have you step into the road than move out the way. So people can't do anything about it when you're approaching them from behind. It's when you're facing them, if you see you coming, they don't move out of the way.
Yeah, all they've got to do is get in single file, haven't they, for a split second. It's happened to me the last couple of weeks, virtually every day. I've been trying to get out for a run every lunchtime, and I literally do run in the road because they don't show any signs of moving.
No.
What's it like walking the dog, Rich?
I just lost my AirPods. My AirPods battery is gone, so I have to go to the thing.
Actually, still sounds very good. Apart from you can probably hear ourselves talking, but what's it like walking the dog in these distancing times?
Well, the thing is, my dog's never been one for walking anyway, so I think she hates it because obviously we now use her as an excuse to get out of the house.
Right.
So she goes on longer walks. So, but as the weather is quite nice, it's all right. Yeah, we get out for a good hour. I mean, usually it's just me and Kirsten and I, the whole fact we took the whole, you know, the two girls with us. So it was quite a nice
family get-together. And are you able to keep distance from other people and dogs?
Well, yeah, it's not. I don't live in blooming dog walk area, like, you know, dog walk central. So there aren't many people out walking the dogs, to be honest. So we do keep our distance.
Did you hear Matt's room of doom entry?
What, the recent one?
Yeah, just that today. One just then. Yeah. I wasn't sure how long we lost
you
for.
The volume's shit on here.
Right.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're shouting now.
Yeah. The volume's really bad.
Okay. All right, well, do your best. So, Rich, have you got a room of doom for us?
Yeah, I don't want to upset you though, Pat, because I think you might do it sometime.
Oh, God.
But the latest kind of thing in the offices now where you can wear kind of smart casual, it's not always just necessarily suits nowadays. Mm-hmm. It is, I've grown to dislike jeans with normal shoes. So jeans with shoes, usually brown, topped off with, say, a tweed / cord jacket. I think that seems to be, I don't like that fashion. That's got to me quite a lot recently.
What, even in the home?
No, not at home. Just people. It might be because
it seems like, one bloke, it seems like we're last in the office new, like does, a month ago.
No, it's just this bloke does it, and he just always wears his like blue jeans with his smart brown shoes. That kind of his jeans kind of hover just above his shoes, where they don't reach his shoes properly.
Right.
And he usually wears like a tweed jacket, which with pad no elbow pads on it. So it just does me head in a little bit. That fashion.
Yeah, I think I probably would wear something like that, and I think Matt probably would too. Matt, I don't know what you've got to comment on that. Matt, are you there? Hello, Matt. Are you there?
You were breaking up. You were breaking up then. Say that again.
I was gonna say, is that something that you would wear, Rich's Room of Doom entry?
Yeah. What the
tweed jacket, jeans and shoes.
Jacket. Would I wear jeans? No. No, I wouldn't. Oh yeah, I'd probably wear a brown brogue.
Yeah.
That's a brain.
Rich brain. All right. So mine is quite straightforward and simple. People who do not return their shopping carts to the designated area. I've seen it happen several times in the last couple of weeks. I've been sort of sat out in the car waiting for Vix to dive in and out of Sainsbury's very quickly, mask and gloves, etc. And people literally are just dumping their shopping trolleys, and it's not something that's happened recently, it's been happening for years. It does not take a second to put it back into the designated bay, if you like. So if I see you doing that, I will certainly.
There is a video on YouTube called Cart Narcs, and he just goes around American like mall car parks approaching people who haven't put their carts back in the designated area.
Yeah.
And some people get really leery about it.
Do they dress as superheroes or anything?
You don't ever see him. He's just behind a camera thing. Yeah, just you don't ever see him.
Nice. All right. Well, let's take a vote on it. So, just to recap, mine is people who do not return their shopping carts to the designated areas. Matt, summary of yours?
People don't move out of the way when you're running towards them
in social distancing times. Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Jeans with shoes and tweed jackets.
All right, I'm going to vote, and I'm definitely voting for Matt because it's happened to me in the last couple of weeks, virtually every day. Matt,
and you wear jeans.
I'm going to go with Patch. I think it's disrespectful that people don't think about other people might need to use that trolley.
Does that happen in Singapore? Have you noticed?
Well, you have to put a coin in it, so there's an incentive to return it. You get your coin back.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah, Rich.
Yeah, I'll vote for yours, Patch, because Kristen hates that as well. Because people kind of balance the current next to like a pillar, and they think it's going to stay there. Mm. Obviously, it could be windy. It could end up anywhere in it. So, yeah, I'll vote for yours, Patrick.
And I think it probably is accounted for at least 5 of the 6 dents in my car is a shopping trolley that has been illegally parked.
Just laziness, isn't it? It's laziness.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Before we finish, let's talk about any recommendations we may have. Matt, I don't know if you're much of a TV watcher in Singapore or in England, but is there anything you've watched lately that you want to report?
Yeah, it's actually not that new, but and I'm re-watching it with actually whilst Monty I'm back Python. In the UK with the in-laws. It's not Monty Python. It's the morning show for those of you being Apple TV Plus subscribers.
Yeah. I haven't watched it. Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, she won an award, didn't she, Jennifer Aniston? Didn't she win an Emmy or something?
She did.
Or
yeah,
Grammy
she did. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It kind of builds as it goes through. There's a lot of twists, but it's well shot. I'm not a massive like movie or series person. I found I could get into it pretty quickly after like I was hooked up to 2 episodes.
Okay. How many has there been now?
The first series is 10.
Okay. There's also the Banker has just come on with Samuel L. Jackson and another chap whose name escapes me. That looks good from the trailer I've seen. Mm. And I watched Amazing Stories as well. I think there's only one of those so far.
That was my recommendation.
Well, go on then, Rich.
Well, I'm pretty sure I told you about that on Twitter. But yeah, it's Apple TV Plus. Amazing Stories. I don't think it's written by Steven Spielberg. I think he directs them. But yeah, I watched all 5. There's just 5, literally 5 different stories. And,
there's 5 now. There was only one on there when I first looked, I think.
But there was 3 when I first looked on there, and then there's been 2 more. And I know the last one was the season finale. So there isn't 5. But
the first one was a bit Back to the Future-ish, wasn't it?
Oh, well, yeah, that was the one. Yeah, we kept going back to need to rescue that girl, didn't we?
Yeah,
that's very really good. The second one, I can't remember now. Christ, out of order. Second one was about 2 girls, 2 they're friends growing up in the Bronx, where it was. 2 good runners. Third one, I think, was about granddad who kind of got some superpowers. I don't want to ruin it for you. And there's 2 more. Everyone's that girl whose mum came after 6 years and she was
strange. So Spielberg is the executive producer of all of them. So they've all got some sort of gravitas. But yeah, there's been a few things on Apple TV Plus. And I guess they're just going to continue releasing stuff throughout the year. It's never going to be as big as a catalogue of Netflix or Amazon Prime. I don't think it's designed to be that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
They're different as well. So obviously, Apple TV is just original Apple TV stuff. It hasn't got films from different filmmakers in the library like Netflix has and things like that. It's all primarily made for Apple TV by Apple. So yeah, it will grow and grow and grow, I think.
Apple TV originals, like Netflix originals, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I as you know, I listen to the podcast a lot, and I think I completely agree with you, Rich, when you say about how Netflix is really difficult sometimes to navigate. And to just to find something that's worthwhile watching is almost, arguably it's almost too much.
Mm. Yeah, and I quite like how they've adapted, and probably mentioned it at the time, how they've adapted the GUI, the graphical user interface, to say that what the top 10 trending things are, and I often start with that to see what's going on there at the moment. But
did any of you two watch Netflix using your Apple TV?
Yes.
Do you ever find after looking through Netflix for a few minutes, it starts buffering as you scroll through the kind of different films? Mm-hmm. Mine kind of just starts like buffering, like it didn't catch up. Rather than just going fluidly through each film, after a while it kind of catches up on itself, so it stops and it goes for like 4 films. Does anybody else get that, or is it just my Wi-Fi or something?
No, I don't.
I haven't seen it.
It's only on Netflix, it does it.
So I use my Apple TV now, and since all this shitstorm started 3 or 4 weeks ago, I have not watched HDMI 1, which is my Virgin box. I literally have just gone straight to the planner because every channel has got some doomsday stuff on it. So I use Apple TV more now than I ever did before. So because it's got Netflix on it, Disney Plus on it, Amazon Prime.
Yeah, once Disney Plus come out, obviously I've got Apple TV for a year anyway because we bought a car at a phone at Christmas. So yeah. Got that free, and I bought myself a new iMac as well. So got it free for a year. I was going to get Now TV. I was going to do away with Virgin. Just have the broadband and get rid of. Obviously, you get on free TV. You get your terrestrials on that. So I'm going to get rid of my Virgin anyway and just stick to the.
I think I could easily get rid of Virgin now. But the only reason I was really keeping it was for sport, which isn't happening at the moment. But I could easily add that to my Apple TV through Now TV or whatever. But yeah, I've literally got Now TV for Sky Atlantic. And then you've got ITV player, 4OD. It's all there. It's just all on Apple TV now. It's the only thing we use.
So if you got Disney Plus, yeah, Patch?
Yeah, yes.
Rather than just watching the kind of all the Disney films on there, there's a film called Free Solo. And it's about a bloke called Alex Honnold who
I heard about this.
Yeah, he free soloed the Al Capitan in Yosemite, wherever it's called. It's amazing. It's obviously over a few years how he got himself to do it. That's a really good watch. It's by National Geographic. That's a really good one.
The first thing I watched on Apple on Disney Plus was Steamboat Willie because I wanted to start from the start and then work my way up.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think that's the oldest
film, thing on there. It just makes the way it was filmed in by Al Capitan, that whole area just looks stunning. Obviously, I've never been there, but it just looks absolutely amazing. The way it's filmed just looks absolutely amazing, that area.
Yeah, we'll definitely watch
that. It's worth a watch.
So one thing, I can't remember if I said this last time we spoke, but the one thing me and my wife watched together recently was Breeders with Tim from The Office, Martin Freeman.
I haven't seen that.
It's on Sky One on demand, and it's about a couple probably in their mid-40s with two young children, and just the sort of tribulations they go through of having careers and children. So it's something that we can sort of all relate to at some point or another. But it's a comedy, but it's a drama as well. So I'd recommend that for anyone with kids, full stop, really. it'll probably make you feel like a good parent, even though I'm not saying we aren't. But yeah, that's really good. And I'm a bit late to the party on Westworld. I don't know if any of you guys have watched that, but it's something that I'm working my way through. No,
I've never seen it.
Yeah, so Westworld is basically the Truman Show on Heat, I'd say. A little bit more sci-fi than Truman Show. But it's an interesting concept, and it develops, and apparently seasons 2 and 3 are better than season 1, and I'm enjoying season 1.
Is there a robot cowboy in it?
Well, kind of.
Yeah, I think it's based on an old film from the 70s, I think, with Yul Brynner, isn't it? Westworld. Okay.
Don't know.
If my memory serves me.
I'm sure it's far more advanced than that ever was. But and then something I watched the first episode of the other day is from Netflix, and it's called Tiger King with Joe Exotic and his story of keeping wild cats in America.
I did start to watch it.
People have been raving about it, and I watched episode 1 and I just thought it was, I described it as something that Louis Theroux would do, but Louis Theroux's not in it, which is probably the only reason I ever watched Louis Theroux things is for him. So, it's one of those ones that I'm going to stick with for another episode or two. But, I think it's something...
I got halfway through the first one and lost a bit of interest. Yeah. But
you'll either love it or you hate it.
Yeah, I might get back to that.
Cool. Okay, guys. Any final thoughts? Any random things from you, Rich?
Well, yeah, if I can just use my crowd, my fan base as it's a bit of an advert, really. You know, people buy racing pigeons.
Yeah.
But I got some racing geese. Right. So I just want people to know if they want a little a quick gander.
Yeah. We should put all these jokes at the start, Rich. You know, get them out of the way at the start.
Wait, don't you want to keep the audience?
We can have Rich's ranch. You got Rich's ranch. We could just have Rich's shit jokes. I don't know.
Rich's one line.
I
just love the fact you sigh after each one.
you could tell the first part of the joke at the beginning of the podcast, and it'd be a complete cliffhanger, and you say punchline at the end.
Yeah, the first word and the last word. I know Rick likes to have the last word. But Matt, we're 100 plus episodes now, and just want to say thanks for being a constant listener throughout the 100 episodes. I think you're the one of the constants in this podcast.
No, I mean, I genuinely, I've said it to you before, Patch, I genuinely enjoy listening to you guys. It's been my commuting pal for the last, however many years you've been doing it. Both on the tube in London, and then if I'm driving to work over in Singapore, if I'm on public transport, you guys are mostly in my ears. The amount of times that I've just walked down the road and I've just burst out laughing and people have looked at me from some of the things you guys have said. So I genuinely find it entertaining. So thank you to you for
you, Matt.
Keep
you
doing it.
Well, it's one of the reasons we've kept going, Matt, is because you've said that to me in the past. And I think, every time I think, yeah, we'll probably just let it drift now. I think, what's Matt going to listen to when he's walking to Singapore?
If we can please one man, that's enough.
just avoid the football episodes. That's all I ask.
We did apologise.
There's no football now, so.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's nothing to talk about anymore. Matt, I really appreciate that. I appreciate your time, and you're welcome back on any time. And let's see how long this goes on. You may be on sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, I'll happily do a part two to conclude the story, or it might be a continuation of the story. Who knows how long it will go on? But
not too long.
Stay safe and stay well.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah,
Rich, take care.
Yeah, good night all. Speak soon. Look after yourself. Stay safe.
Bye. Thanks,
Matt. Good night, boys. Good night.